Good morning, friends. Happy New Year. It's good to be with you. It's good to celebrate on the Lord's Day, and eventually it's good to celebrate the Lord's Supper. As Pastor Nate already mentioned, we're going to return to the book of Isaiah, and we have a lengthy chapter today, and I would ask if you are able to please stand for the reading of God's Word. Ah, the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim, and the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is on the head of the rich valley of those overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord has one who is mighty and strong, like a storm of hail, a destroying tempest, like a storm of mighty overflowing waters. He cast down to the earth with his hand. The proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim will be trodden underfoot, and the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is on the head of the rich valley, will be like a first ripe fig before the summer. When someone sees it, he swallows it as soon as it is in his hand. In that day, the Lord of hosts will be a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people, and a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. These also reel with wine and stagger with strong drink. The priest and the prophet reel with strong drink. They are swallowed by wine. They stagger with strong drink. They reel in vision. They stumble in giving judgment. For all tables are full of filthy vomit, with no space left. To whom will he teach knowledge? And to whom will he explain the message? Those who are weaned from the milk, those taken from the breast? For it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For by people of strange lips and with a foreign tongue, the Lord will speak to his people, to whom he has said, "This is rest. Give rest to the weary, and this is repose." Yet they would not hear. And the word of the Lord will be to them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem. Because you have said, "We have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have made an agreement. When the overwhelming whip passes through, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and in falsehood we have taken shelter. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. And I will make justice the line and righteousness the plumb line, and hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and waters will overwhelm the shelter. Then your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, you will be beaten down by it. As often as it passes through, it will take you. For morning by morning it will pass through, by day and by night. And it will be sheer terror to understand the message. For the bed is too short to stretch oneself on, and the covering too narrow to wrap oneself in. For the Lord will rise up as on Mount Perazim, as in the valley of Gibeon, will he be roused to do his deed. Strange is his deed. And to work his work, alien is his work. Now therefore, do not scoff, lest your bonds be made strong. For I have heard a decree of destruction from the Lord God of hosts against the whole land. Give ear and hear my voice. Give attention and hear my speech. Does he who plows for sowing plow continually? Does he continually open and harrow his ground when he has leveled its surface? Does he not scatter dill, sow cumin, and put in wheats in rows and barley in its proper place, and emmer as the border? For he is rightly instructed. His God teaches him. Dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cart wheeled, rolled over cumin, but dill is beaten out with a stick, and cumin with a rod. Does one crush grain for bread? No, he does not thresh it forever. When he drives his cartwheel over it with his horses, he does not crush it. This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that speaks to us. We ask this morning as we open your word and we mine it and we investigate it and we mull it over, may it penetrate our heads and our hearts and our hands. Speak to us, Lord, so that we may know you and trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Which would be scarier, I thought to myself, to have the ceiling fall on me or to fall through the floor? This morbid, silly existential musing popped into my head last weekend during those wind gusts and freezing temperatures as I listened to our unfinished attic fan groaning. You could see the top of our house here, but not the fan. It went something like this. A howling, obnoxious groan that more than a few times reverberated so loudly I could hear it in the basement. It sounded like the roof was going to rip off or the ceiling was going to cave in. It was startling. And it sustained my attention all throughout the day. And I began to wonder, here's a house built on solid ground, not shifting sand, not slippery mud. A storm comes along and the winds gust. The attic groans. The windows slap and the floors creak. Though it's built on solid ground, is this house really reliable? Can I trust? Should I trust the foundation? We find ourselves in the season of Christmastide, a time in which we celebrate the coming of Christ, but a time in between Advent and Epiphany, a time when we remember his coming as a child, but we anticipate his final return as king and judge. So it's fitting in this season that we return to our series in Isaiah, the increase of his kingdom. If you remember from the summer, many oracles were leveled against other nations. Today, our text is directed at the northern and southern kingdoms and their cities, Samaria and Jerusalem, God's covenantal people, us, the church. We read in this passage that Ephraim, the northern kingdom, has not heeded Yahweh's message to trust in him. They've made an alliance with Egypt to secure protection against Assyria. And not only that, but they have begun to mock the prophet Isaiah and his message, calling it baby babbling. Well, the Lord lets them know that eventually they will fall. They will fall, and they will fall to Assyria, as they did in 722 BC. As I'm sure you noticed in the text, there are references to drunkenness all around. They abound. A superficial reading would say, see, there you go. That's what happens when Christian leaders drink. It always ends in disobedience. But my friends, that would be a superficial reading. No, their days are numbered for a different reason. The crown of their crime is far more ordinary and pernicious. You see, their crime, like many others before them, is pride. They don't need Yahweh. They don't need him now, perhaps never again. They have the security of a strong alliance. And now that they know what to do, they have the military acumen. They don't need Isaiah's prophecies, these simplistic, baby-like prophecies. They already know these nursery rhyme moral instructions. Here a little, there a little, line upon line. They're big boys and big girls now. Ephraim and Judah have become arrogant, and they have taken control. They've rejected God's promises. And as we'll see here and unpack in a little bit, just like Ahaz, they have become hasty. And now they celebrate their achievement. But they're drunk if they think they do not need Yahweh. They are truly under the influence of a foreign substance if they think they have secured salvation. No, the Lord will judge them. He himself, as he notes, will rise up against them. Unlike his behavior with the Philistines at Mount Perazim and the Amorites in the Valley of Gibeon, this time he will not fight for them. He will fight against them. And instead of hearing Isaiah's voice, instead of listening to the babbling and the baby talk, Yahweh will give them over to a strange foreign tongue of invaders. Yet there is hope. Yet there is redemption. Pride and arrogance will not have the last word. The diadem of the crown of glory will reign over the fading flower of pride. He will lay a foundation. No, he will be the foundation. A precious cornerstone, a fixed foundation that will bring about a remnant. He will judge his people for the sake of salvation. Our chapter ends with a strange parable. A parable of a farmer. But what it really indicates to us, what it really communicates, is that Yahweh is this wise farmer. He knows how to care for his land. He knows how much plowing and tilling it needs. He knows when to use a rod and when to use a wheel. He knows when the threshing will eventually damage the grain. He knows how to bring about bread, the bread of life. One of the central themes of this chapter, as well as the book of Isaiah, is waiting. Wait for the Lord. Believe, hamamim, believe. And that word believe means stand firm, be fixed, hold fast. The Lord will fulfill his promises. And what we encounter time and time again is this threat, this tremendous threat of instability. And what we hear time and time and time again is, though the instability will come, wait. Stand firm. Hold fast. Do not be hasty. That is, do not take control. Do not try to prepare and make things ready. Wait. Now, I'm sure for you, I'm hoping for you, I assume for you, it's the same for me, that this is a hard task. I think for many of us, that's because we tend to associate and possibly even conflate salvation or security with stability. We feel secure when things seem to be firmly fixed. When we can visibly see how all of our affairs are in order and they've been prepared for any disturbances. Then we're confident he has the wheel. Then it's easy to trust him. Then we affirm he reigns. But when things begin to go off course, and our affairs seem like they're slipping out of our hands, when we lose control, when it seems chaotic and hectic, when our grades in school plummet, our relationship with our kids is troubled, we're not performing well at work, we've lost a loved one, we call into question what we believe and what we know. Should I do something? Did he really say? Like Ephraim and Judah and Adam and Ahaz, we reach out and we try to fix things. We reach out and try to become our own foundation. We try to secure stability. But my friends, salvation is not found in stability. And it certainly is not achieved by us. When we try to find salvation in stability, we lie, like Abraham. We strike rocks, like Moses. We form alliances with former oppressors, like Ephraim. We cut off a soldier's ear, Peter. We take our own life, like Judas. We withhold giving, like Ananias and Sapphira. No, the Lord doesn't promise stability. The Lord promises salvation. He promises an ark in times of flood. He promises bread in the middle of the desert. He promises to be a mighty fortress in times of battle, or a shepherd when we feel lost. He promises a light to govern the darkness. He promises to never leave us, and never forsake us. That's what he promises. He promises salvation, not stability. Salvation even when there is darkness and a void. Salvation even when there is murder throughout the land. Salvation, even when he regrets what he had made. Salvation, when there are only dry bones around. Salvation, when he takes your children and cattle. Salvation, when there is no fish. Salvation, when the storm is slapping the boat. Salvation, when he is hanging on a cross. Salvation, when he is nowhere to be seen. The German-American political theorist Hannah Arendt once wrote, "The thing about thinking is you have to stop to do it." There's an analogous movement here with trusting. The thing about trusting is you have to wait in order for it to happen. You have to make a concerted effort to trust. It takes time to trust someone, and it takes pivotal, crucial, key moments to display trust. We need to give the Lord time to make things ready. We need to wait on him and trust that he will pull through. Whoever believes will not be in haste. Our salvation is not found in stability and not achieved by us, but he will fix things. He will build from the foundation that he has laid. We just have to wait and heed his words. Politics and selfish agendas. Economics and inflation. The school systems and indoctrination. Technology and transhumanism, media and disinformation, culture and expressive individualism, the church and equalitarianism. Despite current circumstances, we have to remember he is king. And his plans and his purposes will not be thwarted. We have to trust that he will not allow his purposes and his promises to us to be thwarted. And the lesson that many of us have to learn every day as we die to ourselves is that he does not work the way the world works. And he does not work the way we want him to work. But that does not mean that we have to grow weary. That does not mean that we have to deal with anxiety. We must stand firm and hold fast and not be like Ephraim and King Ahaz and be hasty. He will come through. As we enter this new year, opportunities will arise for each of us to take matters into our own hands, to try to secure our salvation through some form of stability, to make ready the circumstances that we want. Resist the temptation. Trust the foundation. Wait for the crown of glory. The winds will gust, the storms will wage, the house will shake, the floors will creak, and the attic will groan. Nevertheless, remember that these are not cracks in the foundation. These are not chips off the chief cornerstone. Salvation will come. Salvation has come. Stand firm. Hold fast. Wait. Let us pray. Father God, as we recited those words of our covenant renewal, we ask this day that you would, by your grace, help us to trust you. Lord, help us to trust you in the big decisions that we make. Help us to trust you in the itty-bitty, nitty-gritty decisions and deeds that we make every day. May we lean on you. May we stand on you as the sure foundation, as the chief cornerstone, as the rock that will fix our lives and that we can be affixed to. And Lord, in doing so, may we honor and glorify you. And Lord, in doing so, may we witness to a dying, pain-stricken world looking for any stability. May we witness to you as King and you who truly reigns. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.